Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. A bright and sunny day. Summer's almost here. I know you exercised this morning. I know you made attempts to get healthy. I know you made attempts to reduce your stress. Of course you did. Today's show, panic attacks and anxiety disorders. I've had a slew of them come into the office over the last month. I got a great story to tell you. Panic attacks, you've had them. You didn't used to have them. In the old days, you could handle any amount of stress. Stay up all night, do whatever you were doing. Get up in the morning, 3 hours of sleep, cup of coffee, out the door, rush in traffic, rush to work. You ever see Blind Date with Bruce Willis? Great flick. Bruce Willis, Kim Basinger. Blind Date, he gets up in the morning, he's late for work. Right, that was you. You didn't have a panic attack. You got through the day under enormous stress. Then somewhere along the line, one day, out of nowhere, you splashed out of bed with your heart pounding. You got upset over something, and you lost it. I mean, you really lost it. You couldn't control it. Anxiety hits everybody. And I think there's a lot of notions about what to do about it. Of course, we've got an entire litany of pharmacopoeia of drugs today, the SSRI inhibitors, so on and so forth. As always, it's your understanding that's your greatest safeguard. So panic attacks and anxiety disorders, what to do about it and how to prevent them. As always, go to the website straighttalk.cc. That's not .com, .cc. That's Straight Talk with two T's. Picture's worth a thousand words. A panic attack. What happens in a panic attack? Are you having panic attacks? So go to picture number three. Take a look. Chest pains, difficulty breathing, choking, tingling in the fingers, pins and needles, hot flashes, nausea, dizziness, lightheadedness, trembling, sweating, shaking, fearful that you're going to go crazy, terror that's almost paralyzing, nervousness, shaking, fear, fright, anxiety, and of course, the infamous heart palpitation. Who hasn't had that? Now you're having them more than ever. Off to the ER you went. Okay, I'll tell you straight from the records, about 4 or 5 months ago, a woman from Europe in her 50s, millionaires, built her own company from scratch, gets on the phone. She's thinking of just doing herself in. Real bad anxiety, depression, fixation on something. Now, of course, to some of us, we would say, how could a woman with a nice family and $30 million in the bank with 12 acres possibly have stress? But you see, that's the irony of all of this. Everybody thinks they're stressed, and maybe they are. Everybody says they're stressed. The librarian that talks to one person a day, the archaeologist digging in the dirt, and the president of the United States. Everyone will sit down and talk about the same kind of stress. To one, listening to the other peer appears delusional. How could the President of the United States and the stresses the presidency incurs possibly listen to the stress of a housewife with one child? How could he possibly or she possibly empathize? And this is what people do. They listen to everybody else and they go, you call that stress? Wait till you find out about my stress. I have stress. And that stress sends me to the ER room once a month because I'm sure I'm having a heart attack. And I don't want to take those meds. Well, that's what's happening to this woman. This goes back a good 6 months ago. Now, here's what I'm trying to say to you. If you get this, you got it. If you don't get this, you're going to spin. You're going to spin looking for that special herb, valerian root, magnesium, GABA, Sisyphus, lemon balm, reishi, cordyceps, any adaptogen. You're going to be out there looking for it, or you're going to be worse than that. You're going to go on a Prozac or an analog of Prozac. You're going to make those terrible mistakes. And I see people do this. I had a guy come in, again, about 6 months ago. This was a guy. He's on Celexa, which is an SSRI uptake inhibitor, like Prozac, and he's on it for like 5 years. Another really wealthy guy. And he goes off it cold turkey because he thinks it's the thing to do. And 2 years later, he's still in a cycle of hell. He can't come out of the house. He can't work. He can't function. And he says, I'll pay anybody any amount of money. He had just been lifted out of $80,000 when he came to see me. He had just been through some sort of revamping neurologically with some company of psychologists that promised that they were going to render him relaxed and peaceful with a full night's sleep like he used to have before he decided one day to get up and go off Celexa after a number of years of taking it. And he was 80 G's lighter in the pocket. And I see these things all the time. Of course, it didn't work. And, of course, it didn't work with me either. He didn't want to listen. You got to really understand it. And that's what happened in this case. Same thing. This woman is there. I mean, she's not functioning. She sold her company. She made lots of money. But she's not useful anymore. She's incompetent. And she's concerned. And she's out there and she's looking. And she's been everywhere. Now, listen to this. Number one, she had a chronic sinus condition for years. And it wouldn't allow her to get her breath up through her nostrils. I want you to hold that for a second so she can get an understanding of how you have to look at panic attacks. Panic attacks, and I'll continue with the story, are an inability of the body to download the stress. But you have to look in the portfolio of stress, from the biomechanical stress to the emotional stress to the biochemical stress. And then ultimately, you have to look to scars from physical traumas that create adhesions in the body, so that in the totality of those four variables, you can't counterbalance the stress that you bring in through the day. And that's the way you have to see it. Your panic attack is different than Joe's panic attack, is different than Fred's panic attack, is different than Larry's panic attack, is different than Mary's panic attack, so on and so forth. And you have to see it that way. What causes a panic attack? In a sense, that's a ridiculous statement. The reality of the panic attack is you got a seesaw. And on one side of the seesaw, you got all the things that give you stress. And on the other side of the seesaw, you got all the things that relieve that stress. And when the balance is off long enough, you're going to have a panic attack with any one or all of those symptoms that I just talked about earlier. And the stupidity of going to pharmaceutical drugs, well, I don't really need to get into that on this show. Unless, of course, you really are going to kill yourself. Or you're going to damage somebody else. Or you've got just 4 more months on the job, and so you don't go postal. You've got to do something to sedate yourself. Everybody's different. Every case is different. No one should make, and I'm not making a blanket statement, of course, about whether you should start to take a pharmaceutical drug. They work, but they numb you out. And long term, it's an absolute disaster. You lose your soul long term. So, back to the story. It relates to you, too. Woman couldn't get breath through the nose. Problem. Number two, multiple head traumas displacing the first cervical vertebra in relationship to the occiput. Number three, a clencher, a bad clencher, square around the teeth. And number four, inflexible. I'm talking inflexible. I'm talking bend down, touch your toes, and the tip of the fingers are a good 6 inches from the floor. When you add those up, specific to this person, you have your answer. Now, shy of that, that woman can be running around Los Angeles. She could be running around the United States. She could be running around the world looking for the reason. Instead of having somebody explain to her, here's the portfolio, your stress portfolio needs to be reconfigured. Now, against that portfolio, in other words, against the things that cause the stress, there's what to do about it. In her case, she needed to stop clenching. She needed to be fit for an NTI. I put pictures of it on the site. I hope you're on the site looking. If you run on down there to picture number 19, picture number 20, you don't need to blow them up. 19 or 20, that's an NTI. Your dentist can fit you for that one. If you're a clencher, this is the second part. You're going to send your jaw backwards, posterior, and it's going to jam up the vagus nerve. Go to picture number 9. Look at that side view, that yellow nerve, the vagus nerve. What picture number 9 represents, that vagus nerve, we're going to talk about, that's so important to understand when you're talking about panic attacks and anxiety disorders and stress syndromes. It means you're not getting vagal outflow. It means your autonomic nervous system is shifted into the sympathetic dominant state, and you can't make your opiates the exercises of life through which you build levels of opiate in the blood to give you the blissful euphoric state. Those systems and mechanisms are failing. What systems and mechanisms? I hope you're not asking that question. You have 200 shows to review then. Each one is a different system. It's a plea to get you to produce opiates. You get the picture here. Opiates counter stress. You either have stress chemicals or opiates. You either have surging adrenaline, surging cortisol. You either have screaming inflammatory cytokine-like chemicals moving through the blood, irritating nerve endings, driving you insane. You either have deficits of serotonin, deficits of dopamine, deficits of GABA. You have some sort of neurochemical frenzy, and you're on the wrong side of it. And before you go off to a medical doctor, a shrink, to have tell you that you're biochemically imbalanced and this little pill will reverse it, or off to the local herbalist to tell you that a little lemon balm will cut it, or a little Sisyphus. And again, if you have to, you have to. Pardon the edge in my tone. But you'd have an edge, too, if you saw that many people get lifted out of their dollars because they're delusional about what works. And it's not the poor man only. It's not the middle-class man only. The rich are actually the first ones to get ripped off. Rich people get ripped off all the time. they usually don't hear the truth because they're too impressed with their money. So they get ripped off by presentation instead of value. You don't think that. You don't think that, especially if you don't have money. But if you work with enough wealthy people, they get ripped off all the time. They're very susceptible to presentation instead of essence. Now, this vagus nerve, look at it. Picture number 9. When you clench, your mandible moves backwards, and it compresses that nerve. When you breathe through the nose, the air goes up the nasal passages through the ethmoid sinus, and it tintillates the dural tissue that's wrapped around the brain and spinal cord. Both those mechanisms, the dural release that comes with breath, and openness, patency of the vagus nerve, are critical components of what you use and what she failed to use to reduce stress, to balance stress, to produce opiates. Breath creates relaxation. Posterior cervical fluidity. Posterior cervical fluidity. It means the back of your neck gets stretched to sedate your experience of life. With breath and cervical mobility, you cannot have a panic attack. If you lined up for me today in Los Angeles, all the people in Los Angeles who are having panic attacks, you would see two things. One, people that cannot take a breath and find repose. I kid you not, I just did it now. It keeps me alive. It allows me to handle my patient client load. It allows me to deliver to you. And without it, I would be dead or sick. I surf big waves. Breath. Breath up through the nostrils, tintillating the ethmoid bone, having that circulation hit the dural tissue wrapped around the brain and then down the spinal cord. I know my audience understands that. If not, hit the past shows. I'm always talking dura, dural tissue. I'm always talking vagus nerve. The posterior cervical isolations of Pilates, of yoga, of Qigong, of Tai Chi. Animals live basking in this process. Animals yawning, decompressing the TMJ joint, and then shaking the dural sheath immediately after. You see them do it every day, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day. You see them doing this. You see them staying connected, and then you see them going out and cannibalizing or having their leg bit off in a fight, their life attacked. Can you imagine animals who probably on a daily basis have their lives threatened? If we have that happen to us once in a lifetime, it's a big deal. Your animals might have it happen every day. Can you imagine walking out into the street each day and thinking this could be it? Well, animals do that every day. And yet animals, that same animal, your animal, comes home an hour later and it's purring on the couch with its arms and legs open, drooling because you're petting its belly and loving it and kissing it or whatever. Animals have mastered what it is to decompress the jaw, manipulate their spine, and induce vagal efferent tone. They send pulses out through the vagus nerve. Well, this woman couldn't take a breath, and this woman couldn't touch her toes. And this woman would clench bad. Her teeth were worn down. If you add the clenching to the flexibility issue, and then you add the nostrils that are blocked, and then you add facial surgeries from plastic surgeries and some intense reconstructive surgery, When you put all of that together, from the neck up, she was dead. So now she wants to kill herself. And then she goes all over the world, literally, looking for answers. And that's what I see happen to a lot of people, but not you. You don't have that. You have reflux, esophagitis, and it spasms down your left arm, simulates a heart attack, and you go into ER because you're certain you're having a heart attack. When they tell you it's your esophagus, you can't believe it because you have heart palpitations. Remember, if your heart is palpating and beating fast, it's your heart. And you fell into my trap because it's not your heart. Panic attacks never mean or rarely mean that anything is wrong with your heart. You have to understand the heart. The heart, which is involved in a panic attack. So you take the leap. Panic attacks. Are you getting breath through your nose? Panic attacks. Can you manipulate the posterior cervical spine and isolate in ways I've discussed in prior shows to release the stress in the upper posterior cervicals? Go to picture number 13. Picture number 13. There's C1 and C2. There's the first cervical and second cervical vertebra wrapped in that gray connective tissue. Now, with a lot of people, that area, the gray connective tissue, C1 and C2, they just turn into a big blob of snot. They don't move. Those areas don't pulse. They just build tensions and then add the muscular tensions to that. And then add picture number 10, people who are anteriorly distorted, posturally distorted. And you put all that together, and effectively your spinal cord, as it comes down, check picture number 14. If you're new to the show, get on the website, straighttalk.cc. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, if you're just tuning in, driving the car. When you get home, listen to a recording of the show. We archive all of these, follow the directions, get the archives. There's a small fee for them, 204 shows. And listen to this show again, because you may be stuck in traffic having a panic attack right now. Picture 14, the foramen mac, that's what your spinal cord comes through. When on picture 13, the first and second cervical vertebra and the connective tissue around it and the muscles all turn to big blobs of snot, the spinal cord coming through that hole starts to torque. The dural tissue around the spinal cord starts to twist. You go into subclinical compression of the spinal cord as it exits through the foramen magnum. Your body doesn't like this. Kiss the ability to relax goodbye. Kiss it goodbye. Now, the body knows this, and so it's going to countermeasure. It's going to drain your reserve. It's going to pull your reserve so that you don't flip out. Let's pretend you can take a breath through the nose. Let's pretend your neck is straight. Let's pretend you can manipulate your posterior cervicals. Let's pretend you don't even have any stress in your life. You milk cows on an organic farm that's yours for a living. And you're a trust baby. And there's just no stress in your life. And you're an athlete. I mean, low stress, no stress, low stress. Let's just pretend that. If I go in and pull out your mojo, remember in Austin Powers 2, fat blankety blank, the big fat man, the Scotsman? Remember, he steals Austin's mojo. Remember that one? Austin's like tied up to some pole or something, and the fat man comes in with a big syringe, and he draws out some fluid. Austin's mojo. And then after that, Austin is a mess. That mojo's your adrenal gland. It's your adrenaline. It's your cortisol. If you pull that out of somebody, if you deplete it enough, even that guy milking cows is going to go crazy with stress. Now, you got to digest that now. Panic attacks. What's your panic attack all about? I know somebody's yelling hormones. It's hormonal. You want to be the high information voter. I'm going to steal that term, right? You don't want to be the low information voter. You want to be the high information voter. So you're not in the background going, it's hormonal. You want to understand what the neuroendocrine system is about before you start screaming that like you're going to rub on a little cream and fix this. If you don't have stress and somebody goes in and pulls your adrenaline out, you will be a stress-raving maniac. The word stress and your ability to adapt to it is inextricably integrated into the strength in your adrenal glands and your testes. So I'll just, and ovaries. Let's talk men. Men who make testosterone. Big, strong men with big, strong adrenals and big, strong necks and big, strong jaws. Those guys don't stress as much. Your quintessential athlete, Terminator. Now, he didn't get stressed, right? That other guy, that thing that was made of liquid, chasing him down. You never saw him sweat one time. Because the Terminator had, what was it, titanium adrenal glands or something? I don't know. But that's what big adrenal glands do. They secrete unbelievable amounts of adrenaline. They drop lots of cortisol. They throw lots of testosterone into the mix. And you feel like the Rock of Gibraltar in the middle of an earthquake. Masayama. Anybody know Masayama? One of the great karate guys. Could knock out a bull. Could take his hand and hit a bull over the head and knock it unconscious. Yeah, don't get uptight about that. But he did a couple of times. I mean, he was of prodigious strength. And he used to say that a true karate guy could meditate in freezing cold water, waterfalls, and just hold concentration, hold center right through a massive quake, an earthquake. I mean, he'd have all these little stories about how he could reach the meditative state and elude any level of stress. And that's the thing about adrenaline, testosterone, estrogen, what you had before you hit 40 or 50. And so you didn't feel the effect. So in that respect, stress is related to hormones. But you see, this is the catch-22, and this is what I want to emphasize. The fact that we know that stress is related to hormones lends us to, we'll take these herbs for it. Take these hormonal creams for it. Bring those levels up. And it's not to the first or second base that these things don't help, because in acute, really bad stages, they help. But they do not give you what you want. What you want is an ability to defend yourself, to accommodate life stresses into your 90s and beyond. That's what you want. You don't want to be shaking in the midst of panic attacks till your dying day. That's what you want. And those hormonal creams and even the herbs won't give you that. The profile, your stress profile, will give you that if you address it. And you have to address the fundamental mechanisms that the body uses, that the divine, that God has given you to adapt and to relieve yourself from the foliage of stress. You have to utilize those mechanisms. Breath through a clear nose. And if your nose is clear, then when you do breathe, does it cause massive levels? Are you trained? Groff, Stan Groff, Groff breath work. Yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong. Yeah, I know, you do it. You do it. But you see, this is the thing. This is, if I could just get you to understand this. Yeah, yeah, you do yoga. And yes, you take a deep breath. And no, you don't know what I'm talking about. You think you might, but you don't. And your teachers don't. Because unless your version of breath is producing a physiological shift in your body, a deep one, the breath is useless. So first, can you get air through the nose? Then are you trained? Not did you go to a yoga class, but do you produce a physiological effect? You got to move the weight when you contract the muscle. You just can't try to contract the muscle and not move the weight and think you moved the weight. You can't just hit the heavy bag and say that's boxing. You can't just read the script and say you're acting. And you can't just take a breath and say you're breathing. You have to have a true physiological effect. You've got to feel your body melt and liquefy to breath. It's what your children do. It's what your animals do. And then you've got to be able to manipulate the posterior cervical spine. You can get online and look at my other shows on the specifics on this, but you've got to be able to do that. Manipulate the upper posterior cervicals effectively to do what? To feel that wonderful flow of relaxation, otherwise known as chi or ki or prana or universal life force or whatever you want to call it. A warm, wonderful feeling, and you won't have panic attacks. And you'll get rid of your panic attacks. And you'll minimize your panic attacks, so on and so forth. So air up through the nose, an ability to manipulate the posterior cervicals, and then an ability to breathe. Those are three different things. In this woman's case, the scars in between the sutures of her cranial bones needed to be pulled apart. In this woman's case, she couldn't clench like she'd been clenching, because what it would ensure her is compression of that vagus nerve distributing sympathetic flow to every part of her body. It's a huge part of clenching. A huge part of clenching is that it compresses the vagus nerve. So you got to stop it. That NTI and beyond. Anyone can stop clenching if they want to successfully navigate themselves on that cosmic journey we call exploring self in the interest of resolving those tensions that create the clenching. Go to picture number 29. We'll change the pace here. Picture number 29. That is a Banya sauna. You're stressed, you're having panic attacks, anxiety disorders, do this. Go find yourself a spa, a good Korean spa. They're all over Los Angeles. They're all over Orange County. Go into a Banya sauna. Go into a steam sauna. Of course, consult your medical doctor if you've got any diseases or if you're elderly over the age of, what's elderly, 60? Make sure you get medical clearance. It'll say that on the doors of each and every one of these saunas. No old people and nobody that's sick. This is only for healthy people. The old sick people, well, tough. But get medical approval. And then go to these Banya saunas and sit down for as long as is reasonable. A minute. 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Get a hot one. 160, 180, 200. I use ones that are 220. I sit at the top and it's 220 degrees. And I sit there for 15 minutes. 10 minutes on a bad day. And then we go out and we get into the ice pool, which is about 45 to 50 to 55. And we go back and forth. You want to talk about reducing stress? Do that and then get on your favorite massage table with someone that knows what they're doing with their hands. Do that. Cost too much money? No, it doesn't. It doesn't cost a lot of money at all. These saunas, anywhere from $20 to $50 for the whole day. Do that once a week. Anxiety disorders, panic attacks, manic depressive states, heart palpitations as a result, and every other blessed problem and symptom you can have. Go find yourself good banya, hot, cold therapy. Take a look at some of those pictures there. Look at picture number 30. Right, that's not your backyard. That's some sort of a little pond in Iceland, I guess. Dive into that. You see why those Icelanders, they grow so strong? Purportedly the strongest men in the world from Iceland, Reykjavik. They go into those hot banyas and then they dive into those turquoise freezing water masses. They go back and forth. The benefits of that are massive. Athletes are doing it. Picture number 34. So, what does an ice bath do? Track athletes were the first to spot that ice baths help muscles recover quicker. Why? Blood vessels tighten and blood drains from the legs. It means your venous system, making them numb. After the bath, legs fill up with new blood. So we squeeze the venous blood out, and then you vasodilate back in the warm, and then it forces new blood in. You pump the old blood out, the fresh blood in. The old blood out, the fresh blood in. And, of course, you remove the poisons, the metabolites, the stuff that's stuck, the stuff that's sticky. Now, what are the herbs about? The guy I told you on the Celexa, and I've seen many others, he was chemically filthy. If you're chemically toxic and you're having panic attacks, the body's mechanisms to counterbalance the stress, it's an impossibility. You can't do it because the chemical toxicity is chemical stress. Can you imagine that? Can you appreciate that? Can you appreciate the reality that dozens and dozens and dozens and high percentages, reasonable percentages of people taking Prozac, Celexa, Wellbutrin, all these anti-anxiety, anti-depression drugs, that most of them are depressed and anxiety-ridden because they're chemically toxic. No studies supporting that. There are no studies showing that if somebody cleans the chemicals out of every pore of their body, that their bodies will start to relax more easily and they'll start to make the good chemicals, the opiates, the things that Candace Pert, neuroscientist, devoted most of her life to understanding and should certainly take down the Nobel over a decade or so. That Solomon Schneider, her mentor, world-famous scientist, would easily support these opiates that are in higher concentration as people reach more elated states of euphoria. In other words, no stress. There's no study to support that purging the body of chemical toxins just might reduce the competition to opiate production. This, of course, has been mentioned and it's under research now. But there's nothing definitive. Scientists aren't really clear. I mean, I could do a show on this nonsense. Maybe I should. Maybe every Saturday I should do a parody on idiot sciences, telling us that they can't get their head straight because of all the controversy about what anybody with any iota of common sense could tell you is reality. Maybe I should. Maybe I should. We'll do a Saturday Night Live rendition of stupid scientists saying stupid things, asking people, low information people, to just swallow it. And then get online at Kaiser for your Prozac. Wow. So what does an ice bath do? What does an ice bath do for people up there in Finland, in Russia, in Poland, in Lithuania? So what does an ice bath do? It gets rid of the chemicals. And then your nerves sedate. And it feels good. Your muscles reflex to your organs reflex to your spinal cord reflexes to your brain. Master. Become a master of the banya, the hot and cold therapy. Master that and reap the benefits. Now, a lot of this stress stuff, you end up ultimately in the hypothalamus gland and the pituitary gland and the pineal gland. They're all part of this game. In the end, stress is mediated, or your ability to counter stress is mediated all the way up in the skull, way, way up high. And on that basis, you have to have an understanding. So go to picture number 27. This is a great, great picture. I mean, I love this picture. Maybe I'm weird, but I get high on this picture. I remember in chiropractic school years ago, the first time I saw this picture. What is that? Well, if you were looking at someone from behind their head, okay? So you were standing simply behind their head and you just opened up the back of their head and looked at the part of the brain, the part of the brain that was about to become the spinal cord, meaning you were low enough in the back of their head to see the part of the brain that was streamlining to become the spinal cord. That's what you're looking at. So again, we are looking at picture number 27. You're looking at the top picture. Sorry if you're not looking because you're driving. If you are driving, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Not to mention, if you're lost in anxiety, anxiety attacks, anxiety problems, and you want education and you want guidelines so you can initiate your body's God-given mechanisms through right action to dissolve your levels of stress, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Any of these stress-related issues that you suffer from have solutions that are done by initiating your own body's mechanisms. That takes an education. It takes an open mind. Lots of people, especially you type A's, you hit 40, you flip out. You have all this money, and you don't have any way to enjoy it anymore. You've polymerized yourself into misery as you skyrocketed to the top. And now you're there, and now you're sick. And now you're looking for a diagnosis and a pill, so on and so forth. That's not the perspective. The perspective is understand the mechanisms that have failed you because you haven't employed them. they went away. They went dormant because you didn't know they were there. And so seek help. 714-850-1007. Be humble and heal. People have to be humble to heal. Good things don't happen to people that know everything. You see this in healing all the time. I think you see this everywhere, but I know we see this in healing all the time. People come in and they know everything. Now look at that picture. Look at that picture where, top left, where that picture starts to streamline. That's the spinal cord. So if you look at somebody behind their head and you open up their skull and you go right in there, you're looking at where it all happens. Where it all happens. Now, you see that nerve? The vagus. See that nerve called the vagus nerve? Look at that picture. And just go to the center of that picture, vagus nerve, and it's got Roman numeral 10 next to it. And you see how that vagus nerve goes right to the heart? And then that heart's connected to the spinal cord, or the spinal cord's connected to the heart, or everybody's talking to everybody. It's like a party. The third ventricle's talking to the colliculus, talking to the pineal, talking to the vagus. The vagus is talking to the occiput C1, the dural tissue. Messages are going out to the heart. The heart's sending messages back. The spinal cord's in between the two, and everything's talking to everything at beyond the speed of light. That's a mechanism. That's a divine mechanism. So if I were you, I would know how to pump that ventricular system. Look at those two things up top on that picture. This is a great picture. They look like clams, don't they? They look like clams. They look like pillows. They're pumping something. Those are the ventricles of the brain. Those are the ventricles of the brain. And look at that little sort of like nipple there, dead center, in between those two big pillows. It's like a little point that comes out, a little tip. That's the pineal gland in between the two superior colliculuses. You guys that have listened to the show regularly, you'll recognize that picture. That little pineal gland, that tip that's sticking out there, is being pumped by those lateral ventricles and by the third ventricle. And that little tip is part of this complex. And when we say, oh, it's my hormones, meaning my endocrine system, we mean neuroendocrine system. We mean that you can't talk about the heart palpitations. You can't talk about the IBS. You can't talk about the, let's go through it. You can't talk about the chest pains. You can't talk about the asphyxiating difficulty breathing. You can't talk about the rapid heart rate. You can't talk about the tinglings and the things. You can't talk about the hot flashes. You can't talk about the cold flashes. You can't talk about the dizziness, the lightheadedness, the nausea, the trembling, the sweating, the shaking. You can't talk about all the psychological delusions. You can't talk about the fear, the fright. You can't talk about feelings of dread. You can't talk about any of it unless you can really talk about picture number 27. Don't you find that fascinating? That's what I see. When I look at somebody that comes in and tells me, I want to kill myself, I fixate on something, I can't get my mind off it, I sit in a room and obsess compulsively, I get so bad, I think I'm going to die, I call up the doctor, I called the ambulance, I went there, I can't work anymore, my family wants to divorce me, I think this is the end. All I see is that picture. Welcome to my world. I'll take a break. Welcome to my world. That's what I see. I may look like I'm listening, and I am, but really, that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at your bite. I'm looking at your humility. I'm looking at your superior colliculus. I'm looking at your ventricles. I'm looking at your nose. I'm looking at your teeth. I'm looking at your level of flexibility. I'm looking at lots of things you don't know I'm looking at. Because that's what your stress and your suicidal neurotic tendencies mean to me. Failure of these systems. These amazing systems. That vagus nerve, check this other picture out. That vagus nerve, go to picture 24. Picture number 24, autonomic control. The balance between those blue fibers and those red fibers. That balance between the blue and the red on picture 24. All takes place in the hypothalamus gland. That hypothalamus up above the pituitary, right next to the pineal, right next to the ventricular system, that hypothalamus is allowing you to speed it up because you got to go and slow it down because you got to sleep. That's mediated in the hypothalamus, but not if the hypothalamus, the pineal, and the pituitary are unduly compressed. Not if they're unduly compressed. And how do they get unduly compressed? Well, we're back to argument number one. Look at those bones, picture number 31. Look at picture 31. Those are your cranial bones separated. Look at picture 32. Those are your cranial bones put back together. Look at picture number 33. Those are your cranial bones separated. The cranial bones pulse. They pump. Are you having any semblance of that experience? What does that feel like? Well, you don't really know. That woman needed to know. That guy coming off the Celexa needed to know. The hundreds and thousands of Americans who are on these useless, stupid drugs need to know. You need to know to prevent yourself from ever having a panic attack and an anxiety disorder. Thus, what to do about it and how to prevent them. Now, have I given you things to do? Have I given you some insight into true cause? Well, then go to it. It's kind of simple. You got to navigate it now. Breath. I've done shows on breath. Go to picture number 6. Look at picture number 6. Great picture. See all those yellow things? Those are the nerves to the heart. Those are the autonomic nerves to the heart. And those are getting switched on and switched off. The sympathetic nerves to speed the heart up and the parasympathetic to slow the heart down. They're getting switched on and off in a balance of reciprocity, of reciprocal communication lines between the heart and the hypothalamus and the heart via the vagus nerve and the sympathetic nerve chain. And on the heart end of it, I want you to notice something really interesting. You see that sort of connective tissue around the heart? Most of it's cut off. That connective tissue around the heart, most of it's cut off. That connective tissue around the heart is tied into the top of the diaphragm. That heart is sitting on the diaphragm. And that connective tissue around the heart is tied into the connective tissue of the diaphragm. It's a fascial interface, which can become a fascial adhesion. But the point is that the two are tied together. Now, that diaphragm that you're looking at there, picture number 6, when you take a real breath, it goes down. It really goes down. It pushes down. It stretches itself out as it goes down as you take a breath, if you take a breath. But if you do, what do? You massage the heart. If the breath is truly an inspiration, you'll massage the heart. And those nerves that are communicating between the heart and the hypothalamus, those nerves will be set into the right track, meaning they'll start to equilibrate their signals, meaning you'll have vagal interchange. The relaxation tracks will activate during real breath because it actually pulls the heart. It's heart massage. Breath is heart massage. So is that woman taking a real breath? Was she taking a real breath? Was she getting air through the nose? Was she enjoying manipulation of the upper cervical spine? Was she clenching at night or not? And if she was, she was compressing the vagus nerve. Was she flexible? Was she toxic? She was all these things. Everything was wrong. Statistically, people like that spin for the rest of their lives. They may go down at 40 and end up like that 40 years later. I see it all the time. So be a high information voter. Really study this stuff. It's not hard. It's laid out nicely. It's concise. Understand that up there, between that pineal, hypothalamus, and pituitary, is the core of what drives your body's ability to go into sedation. And when variables, all those mentioned and not mentioned, begin to put defects in those mechanisms, we have big problems. We can talk about all the little ones like sleep. We can talk about, you have an anxiety disorder? Where are you sleeping at night? If I had an anxiety disorder, if I really had one, if I had one that I felt I was drowning in, I'd be sleeping in the earth. I'd find the earth. I'd get down to Patagonia. I'd go out to the Rockies. I'd go to the desert. I'd find the Garden of Eden on the earth. And I'd spend a week or two. And I'd prove to myself that a long, deep sleep is available. And I'd keep going and going and going and going. 714-850-1007 if you're lost, if you want guidance. Next week, I'm bringing back Dr. Aguilera by popular demand, my favorite dentist. We're going to go after root canals. Do you need one? How should you get the best? We'll help you make that decision. 714-850-1007, Dr. Vincent Medici, signing off. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.